Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
All right. Hello, survivors. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World and Broadway Podcast Network. I am Jason A. Coombs, one of your co-hosts of the show. And this is my girl, my boo, the iconic, legendary, beautiful, talented. I can say all the superlatives and adjectives for her, Samantha Dawn Titolo. Hey, Samantha.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm tired today, but I'm happy. I'm thriving. I'm tired because I saw Tommy the Musical last night. Tommy the Musical? The Who's Tommy?
Oh, yes.
On Broadway. Incredible.
So, Samantha, I also just wanted to give a quick shout out to our friend Casey Miko, who launched a podcast, brand new, just came out this week, called Flop Fan, and she asked me to be a guest on it. So we talk about flop musicals, and my musical pick was All Shook Up, a classic. It was a flop, but I think it has been rebranded into like an awesome kind of like community high school hit. So check that out. Shout out to Casey. Love her so much.
We love Casey. Yeah. I listened to it, Jason. It's really great. And you know what? That's so special that you're the first guest. As you know, as a podcaster, you never forget your first guest.
I know. That was so sweet. All right, Samantha, I also want to shout out my film festival. I know longtime listeners who've been with us for three seasons know about the Bridgeport Film Fest.
Yeah.
But we know where our submissions are open right now until early June. We accept short films. So I guess I preface this for maybe viewers, listeners who don't know about Bridgeport Film Fest. It's a film fest that started in my hometown of Bridgeport, Connecticut, with the help of lots of people. And I'm an artistic director and co-founder, and I am just happy that we're in our fourth year, right, of the Bridgeport Film Fest, and we accept short films and short screenplays, and we have a whole weekend, which is going to be September 13th through the 15th this year, of just films and panel discussions and networking events and Q&As, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you're a filmmaker out there, a storyteller in any way, submit your screenplay, submit your short. We have a discount code I'll put in the show notes. And yeah, we love to have you. So thank you. Thanks for letting me do a little plug.
When is the film festival? Did you say it? In September?
Yeah, September 13th to the 15th this year.
And so
it's
so much fun. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you're not submitting, if you don't have a film to submit, when it gets closer, we'll definitely shout it out, how to get tickets, how to go. It is so much fun, you guys. So keep the Bridgeport Film Festival in the back of your mind. Jason, what episode of season three is this? Four?
This is, episode 84, number four, episode season 84, three.
Number four, season three.
Or maybe it's 85, because we had a bonus. We had a bonus episode this week. So it's actually 85.
We did have a bonus episode.
look at us.
Gosh.
So how was that? We just really talk really fast. We don't have much time. How was it with our buddy Rob Peter Paul?
So it was really awesome. Jason's referring to, listeners, if you don't already know, we released a little bonus episode earlier this week, live from the Notebook opening night red carpet. And Jason, unfortunately, was under the weather. So it was me and so sick. It was me and Robert Peter Paul from the Art of Kindness podcast, shout out. It was so much fun. You know, it was the first time Rob and I had ever done anything together in a collaborative way. And we had a really great time. He is such a silly little duck. He was like doing cartwheels on the carpet, and I'm like, you are so funny. He wanted to pick me up to recreate the Notebook art, and I was like, Rob, you are not picking me up. But like, I'll pick you up, you know. We had a great time, and we chatted with some amazing members of the cast and crew, the amazing arrival. So definitely check that out, you guys, and definitely go see the Notebook. Go see Tommy, go see the Notebook, and go see Wicked the Musical, which will lead us in to our guest today.
Yeah.
Natalie Ortega.
Yeah, Natalie, she is iconic.
She's been a friend of the podcast for a very long time. Her boyfriend was on our show very early on in season two, and she was at our season two launch. We'll talk about
that a little bit. Awesome boy, Chris DeFerro. You got to shout him out.
The awesome boy, Chris Cafaro. Think of what episode number he is, but guys, that episode, he's so funny. So is she. They're like two like amazing comedians, but Chris's episode, I was crying laughing. Natalie's so funny as well. Wait, just wait. We'll talk about it. Definitely listen to her original song, Stepstool, because I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. But anyway, she's been a friend of the show for a very long time, so to finally have her on was such a treat. Such a treat. So you guys are really going to enjoy this. Jason, you want to kick off her bio and tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, I was just looking for it because I did not have it. I did not have it up. I was not prepared to do her bio, so I found it. Okay, cool. Thanks you for vamping, Samantha.
You know what? Natalie, I'm a vamper.
You are a vamper. Natalie Ortega is currently making her Broadway debut in Wicked as Nessa Rose. Some of her original credits include In the Heights and Buddy, the Buddy Holly story at the Kimmel Center.
Wow, Jason, thank you for singing In the Heights. That was incredible. Select film and TV credits include Search Party, Found on Max, and Maybe I Do. You can stream her original song, Stepstool, on Spotify. Guys, I'm obsessed with this. So you have to listen to it. And you could watch the full music video. It's out now. Find it on her social media at Natalie Grace Ortega. Enjoy the episode and go see her in Wicked.
Yes.
Hi, Natalie. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. It's been a long time coming. We're so happy to have you.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I've been a fan for a while.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We love having fans turn into guests.
You were at our season 2 party.
Right? I was.
That's where we first met you?
I was. You.
Yeah. That's crazy. Look at us and now.
I found out I actually met like several friends there that I then met in later places. And they're like, I was at that party. I was like, I was at the party. So y'all's party is the place to be. Yeah, that, it really people? Is.
Season 4, you better be there.
Yeah. I'm just telling you my experience. I met several people who were like, wait, I was at that party.
I love that.
You guys really crushed.
That is so good. Season 2 party, I can't even remember. Like, it was so long ago at this point.
It really was.
Crazy.
But also, I feel like every year post-2020 has felt like 10 years.
Like 10 years, but also 10 minutes. Isn't that weird? Like,
yeah, today is my 4th anniversary with Chris, a former Survival Job guest. And we started dating in 2020, and I was like, oh my God, it feels like we've been together for 40 years. And also, it feels like I've never met you. Like, we've never met.
That is so funny. Well, oh my gosh, this is Survival Job's history. It's the first time we've had people who are dating on different episodes.
I love that.
Congratulations to Natalie and Chris being our. I don't. That's true, right, Jason? Or did I completely make that up?
I think that's true.
I think so as well.
Somebody's gonna be listening to this and being like, "Okay, we straight up did that already." But if people, that's the case, then we're in.
Maybe if people that's the case,
we're
the party,
in good company. Yeah,
we are in good company. Maybe we set up people at the party and we don't even know about it yet.
It's a romantic vibe there.
Which would be iconic.
Yeah.
We have so much to talk about. You just made your Broadway debut. You're literally cranking out comedy on Instagram. It's so good. But first, we love to start off with what we're all here to talk about, and that is survival jobs. So to kick it off, do you have a memorable survival job that was maybe a favorite one that wasn't like so terrible to go to?
Yeah. So basically the only real survival job I've ever had, I've worked in restaurants for 10 years. Which can all kind of be the same, you know what I mean? But I did for 3 months before I moved to LA last year. I worked at Ellen's Stardust Diner in Times Square. Iconic. And that was it. Here's the thing is, it is iconic. And it's so fun. And everyone there is a better singer than the next person that gets up to sing. It's just like such an impressive place. I remember going there and having like, I'll be real, like you hear like whispers about it being in the industry, being like, oh, people work there. And I started working there and I was like, this is the coolest place ever. I've never felt an ounce of like weirdness or shame working there because everyone there works so hard and it was so fun. It's the most fun place to work.
You know, and it shouldn't. I have some friends that work there as well that sort of went through that same thing of like, it's Ellen's. But like, you're making great money, number one.
Also, who are we kidding? At the top level of this job that we're trying to do, you're still putting on other people's clothes and just like wearing a wig and like being silly. Like, what pedestal are you on right now?
Correct. And you're also still performing.
You are. And you're performing for like kids who like don't have access to like Broadway is so expensive. And it's not like Ellen Stardust is cheap, it's an expensive diner. But like you're performing for kids who like sometimes aren't going to the show after dinner, and like it's so special and they're so excited, and to like actually work there, it's so crazy to hear anybody kind of like poo-poo it because it's just such a magical place.
I'm a big fan. Ellen Stardust, by the way, I also love to attend. I go sometimes.
I was just gonna say, if you have any opinion about Ellen Stardust Diner other than the fact that it's the most fun place on the planet, go there and get a little bit drunk.
Yeah,
have some tater tots.
The tater tots. Listen, I've ended up at Ellen Stardust quite a few times. I begged my niece to go.
I still go.
You do? Like on your day off. Oh, you're
not kidding.
Like on your day off from Wicked, you're like, hi guys.
Dead serious, yeah.
So are we going together, like us, the three of us? Is that going to happen?
I'm serious. And I'm like, this. I could talk for the whole time about this, but I won't, but I could.
You can.
It's like, as an adult, like it's like going to Disney as an adult. Remember when you like went as a kid and you're like, this is so magical. And then you go back as an adult and you're like, there's no way it's going to be as magical. Ellen Stardust is like Disney, but in Times Square. And it's just magical as an adult. Go there and get a little drunk. The confetti still flies.
The confetti still flies. I begged my niece to go when I took her to the Rockettes in December. And I was like, we're going to go eat and the people are going to sing. And she said, I don't want to go. She wanted to go to the M&M store instead.
I wasn't there, but Chris's sister brought his 5-year-old nephew, her son, obviously. I said that's so crazy, to Stardust. And he's... like, you know, 5 is young, and that's like a very overwhelming place. I've seen like a lot of kids need like earplugs and stuff. And he was just like, this is the best restaurant I've ever been to. And it's canonically not a great restaurant. Like the restaurant part is fine. But he was just like, this is my favorite restaurant. And I'm like, and I love that. That's what makes me so happy. It's like just kids being so stoked on it.
I heard the Caesar salad's pretty good.
All right.
I haven't tried it, so I can't speak to it. My thing is that I do have a note for any restaurant that sells hot dogs and also shrimp scampi.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a no on the shrimp scampi for me, but I'm there for the tater tots, the milkshakes.
A burger. Get a burger, get eggs, get pancakes.
There's a very good, I like that chicken sandwich.
But also, if you're ordering shrimp scampi
at Ellen Stardust,
a restaurant that sells hot dogs, that's your fault. And you deserve whatever happens to you. That's not the restaurant's fault. That's your fault. As an adult, that's your fault.
That's your fault.
Oh my gosh. So you've never had, have you ever had like a really bad experience working in a survival job? One that like makes you cringe to this day?
You know what? I've been very lucky that I've never had a terrible experience. Like, I'm also like a straight A student. So like, if there's a rule, I'm gonna follow it. Like but I would say if I could, like, if there was one job I would have to pick, that would be like, I wouldn't go back there, even though I do go back there to eat. I worked at this restaurant, and it has nothing to do with the restaurant, but I worked at this restaurant called Cook Shop in Chelsea. Delicious spot. So wonderful. I highly recommend. It's all me. It's all my fault. I worked there from the time I was 20 to the time I was 27. So I just like lived a lot of life there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really grew up there. I started there before I could drink alcohol, and I left like on the cusp of 30. And so it's just like, I can't face the me that worked in those walls. You know what I mean? So that's the only, that's the cringe.
By the way, I think of, so impressive.
I should have left earlier. I should have left earlier, but I'm terrible with change. And they were good to me there. Like, they always treated me really nice. And I, once you also, like, in restaurants, I don't know if y'all have worked in, like, restaurants for an extended period of time, once you achieve seniority somewhere at a place where like schedules are like the Wild West and like making money is like the Wild West, you're like, I will cling to this until I die. And then I like was like, I might die here. I might die here. So I was like, I have to leave. But that's the only reason why I was like, I could cringe at that. Like, oh, like, it's just like, it's like your parents almost, where I'm like, you've seen crazy people that I've dated. You don't like, y'all don't need to know that much about me, but you do. So that's the one where I'd be like, that's the cringiest one. Yeah.
Jason and I had a similar time staying very long at a restaurant, and thank God, no, I was just going to say, thank God the pandemic happened. Cause I think that's the only reason I left. I don't think God the pandemic happened. It was a weird time.
No, horrible, but horrible.
We can look at the glass half full. If that pandemic did not happen, I would still be slinging queso at Javelina Tex-Mex. Thank you.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
The queso is so good though.
The queso is so good, except for, never mind, I'm not going to talk shade on this show. I don't know who's listening, but let's just say when we were there, it was at a different level than it is now.
That's a real thing. And I also, though, do think a lot of that, because I could say that, I won't say which restaurant, but I would say that vehemently about a restaurant that I used to work at that I really loved the food. And it's, I go back sometimes. And also, I'm not just like hanging out at all these places I used to work. Like, I'm not a freak. But I,
it's like going back to visit your high school.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me quantify this really quick. A, I usually get free food at these places.
Excellent.
B, like I said, I'm a straight A student. So I made a lot of friends. I had a lot of friends at these places, but not necessarily friends that I have time for outside of their place of work. So I will go back every now and then. But yeah, I will say, I think post pandemic, this is just conjecture, but like I've seen that with places that I've worked where like the food has kind of dropped off. And I almost feel like whether it's a supply thing or like a money thing on the restaurant side, quality is struggling a little bit. I feel bad for them, but I've noticed it in more than one place.
Correct.
I think that might be a casualty of the pandemic.
You know what?
Yeah.
The pandemic will live in our memories, and hopefully that's only where it stays.
Yeah. Oh my God. Seriously.
Well, in conclusion, everyone, go check out all of Natalie's old survival jobs, especially the Ellen Stardust Diner.
Especially Stardust.
So we have to talk so much about Wicked, as I've already said, but yes. So you're performing at Ellen's, you're on Broadway now. Do you know the moment in your life that was the informative moment that was like, I have to be an artist?
There's like a couple I could trace it back to. I remember like I started doing school plays because my sister did them. Like I just always wanted to do what my sister did, and she was so good at it, but she also didn't care at all. Like, and that's why I think she's so successful, because like she cares, but like she does not let that affect her. Like she doesn't let anything affect her. And I remember thinking like, wow, you can be so confident and have a bunch of people tell you how talented you are. And then it just wasn't my experience. I cared so much. But that was one where like watching my sister do it. And then this is going to sound fake, but it's true. The first Broadway show I ever saw, my mom will say it was Beauty and the Beast, but I was 2 and I slept on her lap. It doesn't count, Deb.
You were 2?
It doesn't count. Why'd you buy me a ticket?
Literally, they paid full price. They had to.
Yeah, full price to see Christy Carlson Romano in...
Not Ren Stevens.
Not Ren Stevens.
It was the 90s. It was probably like $10.
Yeah, it's true. Broadway was $45 back then. And houses were 90. But I went to see my first Broadway show that I was sentient for is I was 9 years old and I went to see Wicked, original cast. And we sat like sixth row. Like my parents really bought tickets to Wicked. And I just remember being like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. We went to the stage door, and that I think was it too, seeing them come out of the stage door and them being just like real people standing in front of me was like so wild to me. And since then I was like, I have to be on Broadway.
And by the way, you did it.
Insane. Wow. In Wicked. And that is not lost on me that's the one. It's crazy.
I love a full circus. Full circus. Wow.
Full and circle. It is. It is.
There's goats that are talking. It's a circus for sure.
Yeah. There's someone riding a bike with really big wheels on it. It's a circus.
A full circus circle moment. There yeah, we go.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Gosh. Okay, so reflecting on your time in New York City, and you were living in LA for a little bit as well, what was like the biggest challenge you faced as a working actor, and how did you kind of overcome it to end up on Broadway, as you just said?
Yeah, it was actually kind of like a string of giving up moments. And I actually, this is like, I didn't realize this until right now, but like my biggest pet peeve, and Chris will say that I say this all the time, I hate when actors, and it's probably true, but in my mind, it's not. I hate when actors get up in an interview or on an award show and are like, and I almost gave up. And then I got this. And I was, and I'm just like, shut your mouth. But what happened was, is I was working in restaurants in New York, and I was auditioning for years, and I did a couple like regional things, and I was in the union, but I kept getting so close to Broadway for so many shows and not getting it and not getting it and not getting it. And I've been doing that since I was 14. Like my first final callback for a Broadway show was when I was 14.
Wow.
First rounding.
Oh my God, no, my mom would never let me do that. Okay. It was for the Bye Bye Birdie revival.
Fun.
Hi, yes. Nancy.
Even better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Alice.
And it's so funny. One of my dressing roommates was the lead of that revival. And I was like, hey, Queen, how was that?
Another full circus moment, you know?
Truly. And she's just the sweetest, most lovely thing. But I was like auditioning for years and years. And then the pandemic happened. And I remember being like, so close to a couple things right before the pandemic. And in April of 2020, my agents dropped me. And I was just like, because they were like, we're kind of cutting bait on all of our theater clients because theater's not going to come back. And I was like, well, that's an insane thing to say. It's like when someone jumps you and they're like,
Wait a few months to feel it out.
And that's the thing, is it was an excuse. It's like when someone jumps you and is like, and I just don't want to hold you back. And you're like, you don't want me to hold you back. Just say it. But so I was like, okay. So I got into comedy because I was like, there's like not a lot going on during the pandemic. So I got into comedy and I really like focused on that. And I was starting to find some like success in that that didn't make me feel bad about myself. Like so much of theater made me feel so bad about myself because I was told no so much, and that gets to you. And so at a certain point I was like, you know what? I tried. I'll come back to it. I really thought that my trajectory to Broadway was like, I'll book TV, I'll be a comedian, and I'll find my way back to Broadway in a specific way where I'm like in a thing that runs for limited engagement or whatever. And so I went out to LA, and right before I went out to LA, they asked me to come in person for Wicked in LA 2 weeks before I moved out there. And I thought, this isn't the right timing. Oh, I don't want to do it. And I told them no. Because I was just like, I made this decision. It took so long for me to decide to go to California and leave all this stuff. And I was like, this is a test and I'm going to say no. I've really come to terms with it. So I went out to LA, and then they asked me a little while later to sing for Glinda. And I was thinking like, you'll never see me again if you hear me sing for that. Like, you'll never want to see me again. And so I was like, respectfully, no, thank you.
Respectfully.
Again, all me, not you. Like, respectfully, no, thank you. And then during the, I was having so much fun in LA. Like, truly, like, I was on a house team at UCB. The most fun I've ever had performing. And they were, during the strike, they were like, hey, would you go on tape again for Nessa? And this is probably like the sixth or seventh time I've been on tape. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm just so grateful to have an audition. And for Wicked, that they kept calling me even though I said no. So I was so grateful that they called. And I went on tape and I got an in-person audition. And I kind of knew that whole audition process was really crazy. But that's kind of how, it just was like a fluke where I was like, I kind of walked away from it. I think part of that is they could tell you're not clinging to it when you walk in the room. But that's how I kind of made it back. And I, poor Chris, I dragged him to LA. He was like, I'm happy to stay in New York. I was like, we have to go. And then I left him there. My sweet poor Chris.
And then I left him there.
And then I just left his little booty there is what I did.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But by the way, that's like, Jason and I are huge believers in the universe and manifestation, mm-hmm. and like everything will happen that's supposed to happen. And it's like, this was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Literally. And I remember,
like, it's such a beautiful story.
It is also just like a testament to, like, when you put your energy out that you're like the day of my final callback for Wicked in person, I had a sketch show that night, like a sketch show at UCB, and I had tech that I had to get to, and they were running like 40 minutes behind at Wicked. And in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to get this. I'm never going to get this. There were like 15 other Nessas sitting in the room. All of them sounded amazing, you know? And all of them were like 5 inches shorter than me, which, like, I'm always too big. Like, I was always too big for things. And I was just like, this is great. I definitely want to be seen. I have to go to tech. And I was just like, you don't have to go to tech, girl. Like, it's fine. It's a sketch show. You're going to be fine. But I remember just being like, let me get in, get out. And I do think when you're not walking in there desperate for a job, they're able to see more of you. And I just think it was the right time in my life. Like, the universe just put it into my orbit in the right time. And it worked out, which I feel so lucky.
Like, the pressure was off.
Yeah.
It was
the power.
Yeah, I feel very, very lucky that it came at that time.
And having the power to say no, it's not the right time for me. I think, like, a lot of actors don't feel comfortable ever doing that, but that's powerful, I know. Right?
It is. And I also think that, like, having a team, like, my reps were very much like, if you don't want to do this, that's fine. And I think when you have a team that, like, I've been with reps before that are like, don't say no, don't say no. And it's just like, you can't say yes to everything. So when you have a team that, like, gives you the confidence to be like, and if this isn't what you want, that's fine. And I think that comes from them believing in you, because there'll be something else that comes up. But yeah, I do think that if I went in the year before when they asked me to come in for Nessa, I would have wanted it so bad that I wouldn't have been able to get outside of, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do the work the way that I was able to do it the next year. Who knows? I could just be making that up to really make my experience rosier, but I think that that's the truth.
Yeah. So you touched a little bit on, like, Wicked was your first show. All of these things fell into place and it just happened at this time. So can you tell us a little bit about what it felt like when you found out you booked it? Like, would you know where you were? What was the feeling? Were you like, is this a prank?
It's a funny story. And some of it I can't tell the full story because there was some, like, behind the scenes craziness happening. But I kind of knew, like, I'm very honest with myself. And I kind of know when I'm in the room, if I'm in or I'm out. And I remember after I had two callbacks for it in person after the tape. So I had one and then there was a day in between and then I had my final. And after the first one, I had never spoken to anybody who had been in for Wicked before, so I didn't know that this was normal. But I walked out of my first in-person callback for Wicked being like, I think that was the worst audition I've ever done, where I knew I sounded great, but they made me sing the song, I'm not kidding you, 9 times.
The Wicked Witch of the East?
Yeah, the Wicked Witch of the East. Yeah, Wicked Witch of the East. And they made me do it 9 times. And after the 7th time, the director was like, do you have water? Do you need water? They had to get me water because I forgot my water in the car. And I was just like, I never got from them like, great, perfect, that's what we were going for. So I left being like, I just couldn't figure it out. And then I go back in the next day, and not the next day, 2 days later, I'm sure I can say this here, a bunch of people watched it happen, and I'm sitting in, they're running 40 minutes behind, and I'm sitting in this holding room at Third Street Dance in Los Angeles, and they were like, hey, they're going to take like a 5-minute bathroom break, and then Natalie, you're on deck. And I was like, great, oh my God, I gotta get to tech for my sketch show. And so the creative team walks out of the room next door, and the director sticks her head in and she goes, Natalie, come here, in front of everybody. And I'm just like, oh, this is my nightmare. Like, I could just feel everyone's eyes on my back, because I've been, every other situation, I've been the girls like watching this happen. And she just took me into another room, and all she did was like say like, hey, let's go over the notes that we gave the other day that we worked on. I just want to make sure like they're all like top of mind when you go in. And I was like, that was so nice of her. And she didn't give me any inkling of like, I want you, or like blah, blah, blah. But it was just like, she was just like, hey, I just want to take a minute, make sure like all the notes from the other day sunk in. And that was just like so kind. And I went in with the confidence of like, well, if she didn't like me, she wouldn't do that. And I was in the room for a half an hour. And they were blowing through people at that point because they were far behind. And that day was like, they were giving me what I wasn't getting the other day, where they were like, yes, exactly, perfect, whatever. And I left being like, I got that job. But the thing about Wicked is then they wait, make you wait 2 months.
Two?
I waited 2 months to find out. And I was really, really, really sure that I got it. But that dwindles so fast. That high
when
lasts
this, when they're silent.
Then you hear from casting, like, they loved her, she was great, hang in there. And you're just like, and that's all coming like unprompted. So they're like, you know, keeping a line of communication open. So I was like really confident. And then I got a call from my agent one morning, and Chris has a video of it. And I wish that I knew the call was coming so I could have brushed my hair, because it was looking crazy. But when I got that call, and my agent loves to do this
thing where he'll be like,
hey, are your legs feeling tired?
Because you're about to be wheeled around.
Because you're about to be sitting down in a wheelchair for a year on Broadway. And I'm like, someone needs to coach him. But he was very sweet. Like, you could tell he was. So that was my, so and my parents too. My parents have been waiting for that call for 15 years at this point. It was so special. But I really knew. I knew when I left that room, something crazy would have to happen for me to not get it. And then I had to wait 2 months to be, yeah.
That's so incredible.
We need the video also.
I'll show you guys. But it is like, dang, that's what she looks like. It is wild. I think even Chris was like, oh, it sucks you can't post this.
I want to insert it into this video on Broadway World. You're like,
not a chance.
Make sure you keep it, though.
I do have a really cute. Oh no, I keep it. My favorite video is, I have a video of me telling my mom, and I had been flying home really soon after that to, like, I don't know, do a comedy show in New York or something. And I told my dad when he picked me up from the airport, and we stopped and got a bottle of champagne, and we went into the house, and he videotaped me being like, mom, do you want champagne? She's like eating lasagna, like fully eating lasagna. And I was like, she was like, no, why? And I was like, you sure you don't want champagne? She's like, no, why? I was like, cause I'm going to Broadway. And she like drops her fork, like does her big Italian hands. And she's like, it's a very cute video, but she won't let me post that one.
I'm crying.
Yeah, like, no, this is like, I've watched this video 50 times and it's so emotional. And she's like, woo, 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 woo. Like, it's the dog is terrified. He doesn't know what's going on. But she won't let me post it because she says her hair looks crazy in it.
You know,
and I respect her boundaries. I do, but I show everyone. I just don't put it on the internet.
It's hard. It's hard.
You gotta keep it though, because when you're like, you know, this iconic Broadway legend, and they make a documentary about you, they're going to want to put that in a documentary. So
honestly, she'll have to, if that happens, your lips to God's ears, if that happens, she'll have to deal.
Exactly.
When you win the Tony, when your Tony Award comes,
we can AI a new hairstyle on her. At that point, we'll be back far enough in the future that we can AI a new hairstyle.
We certainly will be able to.
I love that. So Natalie, tell us about the rehearsal process, right? Because we get a lot of people who like are making their Broadway debut like in a brand new show, but you're like entering a show that's been around for like 20 years. So what is that like for you to like come in as kind of like the new girl in town, which is like the wrong show.
Yes, but... and shout out to past guest Lisa Feingold, past survival guest, who I know like helps a lot in the process.
Lisa Feingold is the kindest, the most talented. Like she and this guy Colby and this guy Dashi are like the dance captains and vacations, like Colby's a vacation swing. And the three of them put all of us into this show. There were five new principals starting at the same time while doing a full Broadway schedule. And they were like, they were there for like 8 hours, 9 hours a day doing full physical. They know every line in the entire show. Like the, if I could shout it from the rooftops, how incredible Lisa and that team is.
Wow.
I would. I could talk the rest of the time about Lisa Feingold, but the rehearsal process was super crazy. I mean, I know that the version of rehearsals that we had for Wicked was so unique, not to me, because it's unique to me because I've never done a Broadway rehearsal before. But normally when you're replacing in a show, you're just working with somebody like Lisa Feingold and the stage manager to get all your stuff and be put into the show. Whereas five principals were starting at the same time. So I got to work with Mary Kate, who plays Elphaba, and Alexandra, who plays Glinda. Like we got to actually like make these characters together.
Love
now
that.
It was an invaluable, and also just like Donna McKechnie being the most normal person. Donna McKechnie and Brad Oscar, like two of the most like established, iconic, like talented. I remember like there have been a few times in like film, TV, theater where I've met people who like are iconic and have worked with them and have been like, hi, I'm Natalie. And they're like, hi. And they've been nice, but it's like, just say your name. I know, you know, I know it, but tell me your name. Donna walked up to me before I had a chance to walk up to her. And she's like, hi, I'm Donna. And I'm like, I love you. And she is early every day. She is, there is never a moment where Donna is like tired or grumpy. Like, the kindest, most down for anything, most normal human being. And I was so nervous to meet her, and she was so lovely. Everyone's just so cool, which I know isn't that interesting, but
no, I love that.
It's really important, especially in the theater community. It's the truth of it is it's hard to find a group of people that are also cool, that are working and cool and nice.
Yes. And with a massive show like this, where there are so many people and it's been running for so long, you don't know what to expect. And everyone's been really, really lovely. But rehearsals were crazy. It was like 5 or 6 days a week. And it was just like, and like I said, I'm a straight A student. So like my thing is like, I'm told something once and I will, you'll never have to tell me again. Like I will drill it until you don't have to tell me again. But it was very much like that, where they'll tell you something once and then you move on. Broadway moves fast. And then you're put in and you're like, they expect you to know it. And that was like really exciting. Cause I was like, Oh, normally I'm a straight A student. People are like, you don't have to work that hard. And this time they're like, good. That's the expectation. And I was like, nice.
Yes. Hell yes.
I'm not a dweeb here. but no, it was, there are parts of it that were really hard. Like I was the only one making my Broadway debut. And moreover, like MK, who plays Elphaba, had made her Broadway debut as the Elphaba standby last year, but she was on tour with Wicked. She was on tour with Mean Girls. Like she has an awesome career already. And I just didn't really have that experience coming in. And so I was very nervous. And I remember like a couple of times, like one rehearsal, I clammed up and I was singing Wicked Witch of the East. And I just like got so choked on it. In front of, and in my mind, the back of my mind, I was like, oh, in front of Donna McKechnie, how dare you? That was the first thing I cracked. And I was just like, and Donna McKechnie is sitting behind you. Donna doesn't care. And I was so devastated because I was just like, and I'm going to get fired from Wicked. Oh my God, that's so embarrassing. I'm going to get fired from Wicked. And I've heard from people who have been in Wicked before that the show hinges on the Elphaba. If she's kind, if she's supportive, if she's great, you're going to have a good time. If she's not, you're going to feel it. And that day I was just so embarrassed, and MK came up to me and was just so kind, and she didn't have to be. People could have just left me alone and it would have been fine, because it's embarrassing and it's like, whatever, you move on. And she just like took time out of her day that she probably didn't have to be really kind to me. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be great. And that's kind of all you need, is not even someone to validate you, just someone to be like, we've all been there. Like, we've all been there. And that's been my experience the whole time, is everyone's just been so kind. And yes, it's been like over a month now, so I fear that everyone's just so kind. I fear that that's just the tea of Wicked, is everyone's like lovely.
We need to go ahead.
I'm going to give a shout out to our boy who plays Bach, Jake Patterson.
Can you believe?
Iconic.
What a sweetie.
And he's that talented and that beautiful and yeah, that kind.
It's so nice.
He invited me to his birthday, and I was like, oh my God, how old are you going to be? He goes, 25. I went, oh, die.
You're like, same.
Oh, me as well. Covering up my gray hairs. So I'm like, no, me too.
When we talked to him, we were like, tell us about your survival jobs. And he's like, well, I really just started working right after college.
He said, well, I went to college.
That was a survival job.
I went to college and I survived it.
Yeah. And then I just basically have been working as an actor ever since.
No, his survival tour was the national, his survival job was the national tour of Wicked.
Yeah. Literally.
Good for him, man. And he's talented, mm-hmm, and he deserves it. And he's just so pleasant to work with. And actually, it's very funny. I recently got new jeweled shoes because I was in a 3-inch and now I'm in a 2-inch.
Oh, good. Oh, you're so tall.
I would be like, and he's not that little as far as box go, but I am just like a beast. They had to rip all the padding out of the wheelchairs. I'm sitting on, let me tell you right now, plywood in two of the chairs because they had to take all the padding out because I am the tallest. I was told I'm the tallest woman to ever play this role. And they
iconic,
were like,
making Wicked history.
Literally. Well, it's funny because they said the same thing to the girl. Her name is Kimber, who went right before me, and she's so fantastic. Yeah. And she's not short. She's like 5'7". And they were like, we thought Kimber was the tallest. And you come in here and you're huge. And I'm like, thanks. Yeah.
I hope they didn't say
for
that.
Oh, sure. No, that's what I heard, though. You know what I mean? That's, again, not on them. That's on me. That's what I heard, though.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Oh.
I'm 5'9".
I know you're 5'9" because of A Man with a Step Stool, which we will talk about later, because I've stalked it and I think it's so brilliant and so good.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to answer a question. I was going to be like, she's 5'9".
I am.
Because I know the lyrics in the song.
I'm explicitly 5'9".
Yeah.
And by the way,
everyone's the same height to me because I'm like 6'3". So everyone's short to me.
Okay. So we've talked so much about Wicked. Thank you for sharing and being so open about all of these stories. Mm-hmm. So we know a little of the BTS, but mm-hmm, can you tell us why you think Wicked has been so successful and spoken to audiences for 20 years?
20 yeah, years.
It's obscene. And it's only going to get, you know, a larger audience when this movie comes out.
Thank you for saying obscene, because that is a direct pull. It's a direct pull from Wicked.
It is. It's just injected into my blood to call it the show now. I think that it's because it's, you know, it sounds so corny, but there are so many timeless themes in this show. And literally since 2020, which is a time that I think a lot of, especially people our age and younger, had like real political awakenings, all of these themes only become more and more relevant. Like, it's a show about, like, you don't realize it as a kid, but like you watch the show as an adult and it's so clearly a show about race and about class and about like, and about women and about women's roles and how they're used. And like, and it's, I just think that there are themes that unfortunately are so prevalent and can be attributed to so many different groups and types of people. And I also think that the two main roles of this show, Glinda and Elphaba, are so different, and so many people, especially young people, can see themselves in one or both of them. And I think that that's, I think that is the biggest thing that makes this show so successful, because it's having young people so like viscerally attached to it. And then they're all on the internet now. And so the show just becomes bigger and bigger and has a life of its own. And I think it'll continue to do that. I hope so.
Yeah. That was great. So I think a lot of people who listen to this are going to like just like live vicariously through you. So can you tell us three words that you felt, your emotions after your first show, and they like was trying to take a bow. You took your first Broadway bow in a principal role. Three mm-hmm. words that come to mind, because I just imagining that gives me chills.
Elated. Relieved that I had gotten through it. And just yeah. so like from the bottom of my heart, grateful.
Yeah.
To so many people for and forces at play. It was the craziest night. That. Yeah.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And like just knowing you, that's so well deserved. You're such a kind Thank and beautiful you. Person inside and out. So I'm that's so happy so for kind. You.
Thank you That's so true. Much. It's been, and just the like support I've gotten from like my friends and my family and like people who have come out and people who have reached out has been like, that's the best part of it. Because like I'm going to do the show 8 times a week for a year, but hearing like from people who I love and like how they feel about it has been like so emotional for me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. We Thank are going to run to that theater. We have to see you.
No.
I yeah, let me know apologize. When you're coming and bring you back.
Yes. I want to take my sure. niece. I've been shoving Lucky down her throat for so
you
long.
Should. You
should. She'll be fine.
Oh my gosh, she'd love.
I do want to apologize for my mom telling you that Nessa Rose was my part at my season three.
Here's the thing. Party. That's, listen, she's one. Everybody's part.
I'm like, Mom, Natalie is making her Broadway debut in Wicked as Nessa. My mom doesn't even say, like, congratulations. She looks at me. She looks at Natalie. She goes, that's her part. I said, no, it's not.
Your mother is my mother. No. Your mother is my mother.
It's because as a child, when Wicked came out, I obviously was, you know, blasting the cast recording. I can't sing anything else except Nessa.
We love an alto. We love an alto.
We love an alto. When no, it's on pitch, it.
Your mom's an icon. Nessa is the people's witch.
Yeah.
And I, she is. She's really the people's witch. Is. And I think a lot of people who think that they're Glinda or Elphaba need to take a hard look in the mirror, because I think most of us are Nessa.
Most
people's witch.
My She's mom does witch. Faithfully listen. So, Mom, don't be offended that I just said that. It's a joke. No. It's a bit. It's
What's
a
your bit. Mother's name?
Dawn.
Dawn, you're an icon.
There
don't overthink it for a second.
Don't overthink it for a second. Okay, we are so obsessed with you. Thank you for coming on. We're gonna have a few more questions, and then we always end with a fun game, as you know, as okay. a Survival Jobs fan. I do need to go back, and we need to talk about Man with the Step Stool, and also just yeah. you know, you're creating so much content on the internet and on TikTok and making bits and doing all the fun stuff about, you know, being an artist. So first, why do you think it's important to create your own work? And can you tell us about Man with a Step Stool? Because honestly, I think it's going to blow up, and I think you're going to be a huge star from it, because I'm obsessed. I have That's DM'd so it kind. To so many people. I'm like, you guys, this
Thank
is
you.
So funny.
Thank it's you for like, sharing it.
You're just so upset. I don't mind that he's shorter. I just can't take the
Why are you lying? Why are you
it's
lying?
It's so funny, Natalie. Great. I literally Thank am you. Obsessed with it. Super so fan. Much. My vein is coming out of my forehead. You know that's what that
that's
means.
Passion. I'm excited.
That means I'm excited. Doesn't want to need a phrase it differently. He says he's not short. He's just shorter than me. And if that's how he identifies, I respect it. We're just like other couples, except when we do piggybacks. I'm the piggy, and if I can't reach things on our shelves, I know I'm cool, cause my man's got a step stool. My man's got a step stool.
I really genuinely hate the internet. I like it for personal use. Like, I love, like, posting pictures of my friends and my boyfriend. I hate using it as a tool for anything, like, business related. But during the pandemic is when I started making content because I was just, like, bored and, like, growing crazy and there weren't a lot of performance opportunities. So I started, like, making content. And it wasn't, like, I didn't really get a ton of engagement. That wasn't why I was making it. But I was just trying to figure out, like, what lane of comedy I fit into. And so with Stepstool, I found that I, like, because I was a songwriter for a long time and I was pretty mediocre at that. But then I started doing stand-up and that was really fun, but it didn't, like, I never felt like my voice really came through on, like, traditional stand-up. And so I wrote my first, you know, like, silly song, which is just a song about me and Chris having a fight over the fact that I want to sleep with Pete Davidson at the time. And people thought that that was really funny. And I was like, oh, like, let me keep doing this. Like, it seems like this is a way that my voice comes through. And the way Stepstool kind of came to be was the way I write songs is I'll either think of, like, a line or, like, a melody in my head. And if it's a melody, I'll just, like, record that on my phone really quick and, like, worry about it later. And if it's a line, I'll just scribble it down on something. I don't like working in my notes app. I like to scribble it down somewhere and move on. So what happened with Stepstool was I was on the train going to Chris's apartment to do a self-tape. And so I was reading my sides on the train. And the line that came to my head was the first line of the song, which is, I have a short boyfriend and I am a good person. Those facts are related. And so I was just like, oh, that's so messed up. So I wrote it down on the back of my side so I didn't forget it. So then I go to Chris's and we're about to tape. He's holding my sides because I'm a good student. And he goes, what is this? And I was like, oh, no. I'm just writing a song about you being short. And he was like, that's not better. And so what I did, and awesome, like, I do boy. He is an awesome boy. And so what I do with any song that references Chris, which is a lot of them because all I do is really talk about Chris, is I will write it and I'll send it to him and be like, are you comfortable with this? Do you think this is funny? And to Chris's credit, he's an excellent sport. He, like, really doesn't mind a joke at his expense as long as it's funny. And he had one note about the song. And he said, hey, my only note is, I just would say, I'm not short. I'm just shorter than you. And so I put that in the song.
Yes.
Because I respect my man.
Yes.
And so I wrote that song like 2 years ago and I played it out a lot. And then when I moved to LA, I kind of put it away for a bit because I'm like, I've been playing it for a while. And I played it at one gig where my friends were there and they thought it was the craziest thing that they'd ever heard. They're like, this is so obscene again.
So good.
And I just had a crowd of amazing, amazing friends in LA who are so creative. My friend Sterling, who's a producer and performer in his own right, he's fantastic, produced it for a rate so much lower than he deserves. And it's all I had. And he did such an amazing job with it. And then my friend Jack Hackett directed, shot, edited that whole video for free. And all my friends came in and did it for free because they thought it was funny and they wanted to be part of it. And I just like the biggest shout out to everybody who, like, put their time into that, because everyone put a lot of time into that, especially Sterling and Jack. And now I'm just shoving it down the throats of everyone online who will listen to it. And I do have a song coming soon. Yeah, literally. I'm like,
oh my.
But yeah, I have another song coming soon. My friend Sterling is producing another one of my songs. There won't be a video because Jack doesn't live in New York and I can't afford anybody here.
He's busy. She's on Broadway.
Yeah, literally. That's why, because I'm busy. Mm-hmm. But I will have another song within the next month, I would say. So I'm excited about that.
Stay tuned.
You never know. Maybe someone listening will want to help produce your video.
If you guys have production capabilities, I have $200 with your name on it.
and the connection for when she's a huge, huge star.
And yes, you might get 1,000 views on YouTube. So
yes. 1,000.
Not to brag, you might get 1,000 views on YouTube.
Not to brag.
Love that. So man. You shared lots of wonderful anecdotes. You told us a bit about your journey to Broadway. You share maybe one last thing for someone who's listening, who's like, oh, this shit is hard. I'm thinking about giving up, but I really, really want this.
Yeah, I would say if you really want it and you aren't happy, can't see yourself being happy doing anything else. If you can see yourself being happy doing anything else, do that.
Yeah.
If you can't, don't let people tell you no, or let them and don't let it affect you. Like, so many people told me no. And I think like a really good piece of advice that I have figured out on my own that I wish I knew maybe 4 years ago is really, really know yourself, know what you're excellent at and accept what you're not excellent at, and say no to opportunities and auditions if you feel like it doesn't serve you or shine you in the best light, because it's the quickest way to feel less than what you are is trying to fit into a mold that's just not your role or not your song or not your show. And that's fine. Like, not everybody can be Sutton Foster who can just do absolutely anything. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody can be that girl, and that's fine. And I think when the most powerful thing you can do is knowing what you're amazing at and what you're only okay at, and really throwing all your energy at what you find yourself being amazing at. And it'll make you feel better about yourself.
Snap. Love that.
Thank you.
I do just want to say, you said not everyone can be that girl. I'm not that girl. Do you get it?
It's really just infecting my brain.
Which is perfect, which is a perfect segue into our trivia game.
Okay. Oh, God.
But thank you so much. This has been an amazing interview.
Thank you for having me.
A star. Of course. We are so happy. And by the way, keep BroadwayCon open. We're doing a Broadway debut panel, and maybe you'll just sneak right back in.
I'd love it.
Hey. Okay. So like we said, we always end every episode with a game. Mm-hmm. And we thought, what better way to end this game with some wicked trivia for the 20th anniversary for your Broadway debut to really test your wicked knowledge. So are you ready?
Circle moment.
I'm literally nervous. Like, my palms are setting.
Well, you guys both showed up in your green, so you're ready. I'm the oddball out. I am Elphaba. I'm the different one. Yeah, so.
You are.
No problem.
You're not that girl.
I am not that girl. Jason, you want to kick it? Oh, you want me to kick it?
Yeah, kick it off.
Okay. First question. Before Idina Menzel landed the role of Elphaba in the Broadway original cast, this future Elphaba was the first to portray the role in the reading while the show was in development. Is it A, Eden Espinosa, B, Julia Murney, C, Stephanie J. Block. Oh my gosh.
Ding, ding,
congratulations
ding.
On getting the answer without the multiple choice.
I try. If anybody's just listening and not watching the video, it'll be me emphatically shaking my head and mouthing Stephanie J. Block until I just shouted it out.
I was looking at the dog, so I didn't even see.
Same. Okay. Here's one. Number two. Okay. What was the opening night date for Wicked on Broadway?
It was October.
No, go ahead.
October 30th, 2003.
Yes, girl.
Why were your palms sweating? You're literally killing it.
I'm actually getting really confident. So I feel like I'm going to fall pretty quick.
This one, I believe y'all ace. Watch you not know. Number three, which of the following was not a reason why Glinda and Elphaba loathed each other in What Is This Feeling? A, your voice. B, your face. C, your stench. D, your clothing.
It's going to be her stench.
Correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's going to be the stench, yeah.
Correct.
True or false? In 2008, there was a scrapped Wiccan movie that was originally going to star J-Hud as Elphaba and Christina Aguilera as Glinda, with Rob Marshall directing.
Here's the thing is, there have to be several scrapped Wicked movies. Like, they must have like really tried. J-Hud would be amazing. Christina Aguilera would be the wrong choice for. I mean, Christina could have been Elphaba too.
Yeah.
True.
It's actually false.
No! It's okay. We have a bonus.
It's okay.
We have a bonus that can bring it all back. your music director, Dan Michigay, was not always a music director. Formal Chicago. Survival
Chicago.
I didn't even know Chicago. What Broadway musical did he star in for
a quick, funny Dan Michigay anecdote for the end of this podcast is he found out that I worked at Ellen Stardust Diner.
Obsessed.
And now whenever he gives notes, so there's a phone line, like a landline that goes to all the rooms in the Gershwin. And now I know when he says, when I pick up the phone and he says, Ellen, he'll like call to give me notes. He calls me Ellen. The first time he called me and called me Ellen, I thought he was looking for an Ellen because he didn't announce himself. I just answered the phone and said, hello. And he said, Ellen. I said, no. And I don't think there's an Ellen that works at Wicked. So I'm like, who the fuck is calling?
I said, he was like, no.
Ellen, I know this is Ellen. I was like, it's not. He goes, Miss Stardust? And I was like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
He's a ham.
Well, congrats to Chicago. He was in Chicago, and that was the question. And I want to congratulate you. Even though you did get the one incorrect, you did redeem yourself. And you did get double points in almost everything because you didn't even hear the multiple choice and you got it right. So congratulations on acing the game. Thank you so much. This has been so amazing. Can you please, before we go, let our listeners know where they can find you on the social medias, how to keep up with Natalie. Give us all your handles.
So my social media, I'm on TikTok and Instagram, and it's at Natalie Grace Ortega on both. And you can find Wicked content there. You can find my comedy content, and you can stream Stepstool on Spotify.
Please stream it, you guys, and shout it because I'm so obsessed with this. Jason's
links are all in my Instagram bio.
We're all obsessed all with there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're not following us yet because you're just a Natalie fan, check us out at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter. The TikTok is activated and we are throwing things on there. We're Survival Jobs a podcast, I believe, on TikTok. Shoot us an email, survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs, and I am Sammy Toots. Thank you, Natalie.
Natalie,
thank you
you're
so much
an icon.
For having me, you guys. This was so fun.
It's a full circus moment, you know?
Full circus, baby.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.